ourselves and what a limiting factor can be, and one of the most common limiting factors we have. And listen, it seems like, what kind of a Christian topic is the limiting factor? There's even movies out there, Limitless and, you know, Limited. Well, limiting factors are huge in a Christian walk because we do this to ourselves. You ever hear that Bible verse, like, you can do all things through Christ? How many of you have ever felt like you've done an all thing for Christ? You know, the reason why is because you're limited. If you're limited, if you're held back, if you're cut short, if you've ever had a, you know, we were talking about just some warfare, and it's just warfare. That's all warfare is. When me and my wife go through warfare, it only takes us a very little bit to recognize it, and that's the most important part. And then as soon as you recognize it, you just stand against it. We'll go and we'll take a, you know, a break together, 20, 30 minutes, pray, and then we're done with that. Now the warfare is going to end, and we're just going to move on to the next thing. It's not we're going to stay in the war zone with our head. You know, I did a teaching before. There's battle hardened, there's battle ready, but there's battle fatigue. And you don't want to get to the place where you have a battle fatigue going on with you, because you will handle yourself poorly in battle. You want to be somebody who's battle ready. Yes. It's okay if you've been prepared and you're actually ready for battle. You know, that new recruit is not battle ready yet. You may be heading in the right direction, but you're not ready yet. There are stages to get ready. And there's people that have actually been. You ever seen somebody like their first experience was something that was war, something that was hard? You know, that first sit-up? You're just sure they've never done a sit-up before in their life. They're like, what do you do now? I don't understand this. Like, I was laying down. Now you want me to sit and then now lay back down. This doesn't make any sense. I've watched people the first time they've had to do actual work, real labor, and they complain so quickly, and they're just sure they're dying. You know, my hands, I remember, like, get somebody to start shoveling for the first time. You know, go shovel the driveway. It doesn't take like two paths, and it's like, this is impossible. The snow's super wet. I'm getting blisters. Like, you're not. If you are, shame that you're already getting a blister. What kind of, you know, work have you done? And that's the way sometimes it is with warfare. There are people that have been living in it, but they've never experienced what they're living in. They're not aware of what's going on. They just think this is life. I have a hard life. I have to go through hard things. And this is not the way God has designed it. Certainly not if we're supposed to do all things through Christ. But I want to talk about this morning is simply, what are some things we're doing to limit our lives and cut our lives back? How many of you experience this great joy every week? Is joy a fruit of the Spirit? Is joy something you're supposed to have? But how many of you are living thinking like, oh, this is great. I remember what some of those moments were like before when I was happy. Like, that's the way most people are. I remember back a few months ago when I smiled. That's the way a lot of people are.
Oh, come on.
You know, when I was in the world, we used to go to parties, not every once in a while. Every night we would go to do something. And when I was worldly, I would pre-get myself, like, I would drink alcohol, or I would do whatever I would do before I'd even go to the party where I was going to do, guess what? Oh, that's right, drink more alcohol. What? I mean, that's how you know you're an alcoholic. But in the world, we would go to do these things, and then it kind of all blends together to this big picture of, you know what you do most of your life? You know what you're doing when you're that way? You're going to other people's houses and sitting down and drinking. Like, you ever been to a party? That's what a party in the world is like. Like, what did you experience? I went to Bill's house, and we sat down on the couch, and then I drank, and then I was there, then I left. Like, that was the party? You were so excited about that party. You know, if you did drugs, then you went to Bill's house, you did drugs, and then you woke up the next morning on Bill's couch wondering where you were. The fact is, the world's that kind of an empty little thing. What about clubbing? Well, we went to a building, there was a lot of lights on. I looked like an absolute moron. I pray to God, no, but like, once the phone generation with cameras came out, I knew my clubbing days were over. Because you don't want ever to see, like, one of your friends be like, yep, Facebook, Instagram, group family text. Like, what you do in a club, I guarantee you think in your head you are amazing. Like, you're like, man, this could be in the movies the way I'm dancing. But in reality, if somebody looked at you, they'd be like, get that guy, you know, some medicine. He's having one of those. I'm just telling you the truth. You know, the world's idea of what's amazing fun is not that amazing fun. It's joy doesn't come with just doing something fun. It leaves you as soon as that something's over. Even something you've been very excited about, when you actually get to it and it's done, as soon as it's over, where is it? Where is the fun? Where is the joy? Well, that's right. It was just happiness.
Oh, that's
I had some happiness when I was doing that thing, but the happiness just went fleeting away. I didn't have joy. It didn't last afterwards. I wasn't smiling all day. Now, I don't know anybody but my sister Esther who smiles all day, but that's a rare thing. I'm just talking about actual joy. That means you don't have to smile when somebody's, you know, if you're smiling when somebody's yelling at you, something's wrong. You know, if they're like, what is wrong with you? Like, if you're like, yeah, those are the kind of people I'd be like, yeah, you need to step away from that fellow. Make sure you're armed. You know, beware. This is one of those mailmen that's going to go crazy kind of personalities right here. They're smiling at you, you know, all happy when you're yelling. Something's wrong. But this is what I'm talking about is actual joy means that no matter what storm comes, you're not shaken by the storm. You're aware of what's going on. You can be happy about what God's going to do. Even in a moment when you're trying to get breakthrough personally, you can be excited. God is going to deliver me. It's going to be okay. There are people that have, like I said last week, there are people that have bad relationships, and their big worry is, I'm being honest, am I ever going to find someone who won't? Who will be faithful to me, who will care and not leave me, who will, right? This is the big worry. Will I always be alone, or will I ever find that someone? And it's funny because it becomes a worry, something that should be exciting, you know, that someone that's going to come, the trust and faith that it's going to be okay. And that's what I'm talking about, is we don't have that joy most of the time. Now this morning, we're going to go into Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read a little bit about this. I want to explain to you why one of these big reasons why we are limited as a Christian, why we limit ourselves, why we limit our relationships, husband and wives. You know, like I said last week, you start out marrying that person who's, you know, either the opposite that attracted, you know, that all of a sudden attacked, or why, you know, you start out with that love of your life and everything's great, and then why did everything get into the clouds? You know, like, well, you flew into the clouds, that's why. You didn't have to stay in the cloud. There was nothing special about the cloud that was going to help you, but you flew into that thing, and now everything is shadowy. Yeah. Now over here in Luke 10, it says this. We're going to go to verse 38. Now it happened as they went that they entered a certain village. The they is Jesus and his crew, and they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now listen, if Jesus comes into a room and starts talking, this is where I'm going to be. Yeah. Anywhere around hearing his word. I've been this way with every great man and woman of God I've been around. I always go and find, where are you going to be at? When are you going to start talking? Then I'm going to do this thing where I shut up and then just keep talking because I feel like I'm cheating. Like, give me all the cool inside information. You know, Dr. Hicks, I was talking with Ray Bench a few days ago, and I went down to Sarasota to meet him. And we were talking about Dr. Hicks a little bit, and he said, you know, Dr. Hicks said this thing. I went to him and showed him a Bible, and I was like, hey, what do you think of New King James Version? And he's like, I like that version. I did do part of the translation for it. And so then he looked in the beginning of the New King James Bible of the men that did the translation. Dr. Roy Hicks is one of the men at Thanks for the New King James thing. And he was like, So, you know, obviously I've got a little growing up to do. If you've been busy, you know. Translating New King James Bible. I'm sure that's busy. Anyway, so this woman is sitting down to hear Jesus' word at his feet. But Martha was, and listen to this word, distracted. Now I'm reading out of the New King James Version, if you're wondering. But it says that Martha was distracted. And then it says this cool thing. It says, with much serving. Serving good? Yes. You ever been to a restaurant where they like really take care of you? Like not a little bit, but they like almost overtake care of you? Like the places where when you drink two sips of water, they're already trying to come and refill your water back up. And you're like how big do you think my mouth is? I took a sip of this. Those kind of restaurants where they're constantly on you. I've been to those. It's not very common. Most of the time it's like you're looking around with a dry glass being like, this has been dry for 15 minutes and I'm not sure the person who is helping us is in the building still. But this is with much serving, she's distracted. So what I'm saying is you can get distracted with absolutely anything. You can get distracted with work. You can get distracted with the little things around you in your life. We all know what we're talking about here. You can get distracted with one problem, and that one problem in your sight, not in reality, in your sight grows to be insurmountable. But she is distracted with much serving. And she approached him, big H him, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? This is the kind of thing that every sibling would say about any other sibling. Don't you care that I'm taking the garbage out by myself? How could you not care that I'm washing all the dishes myself? How do you not notice? You know, this is a like Adani and Ava. Ava could be sitting there going, because this is pretty regularly the case. Like, she could look around during chore time and be like, I'm washing dishes, I'm cleaning the counter, and there's not a soul to be seen from anybody else. Like, and then 45 minutes later, I'm still the only one. I know everybody has chores, and they're around here. But where did they go? You know, I think that's them upstairs, hiding. This is the way this was, but this was, she doesn't complain about it, but this was the complaining part. Do you not care? I love this. Do you not? This is the way, this is the attitude. Do you not care that I'm totally, do you see me just soloing this thing, right? Doing everything. Like, I'm the waiter. I took your order. I'm also the one going into the kitchen and cooking all the stuff and prepping it. I'm also cleaning up, if you haven't wondered how this is. Like, she's already distracted with much serving, and she's saying, do you not care? Therefore, tell her, this is not something I would do with Jesus. This is not something I do with the authorities I have in the church. This is not something I don't give them my opinion and then go, so do this. Like, I don't want to be telling Jesus, aren't you feeling this way too? You do this now. Like, no, that doesn't feel right. I feel like he's the one supposed to tell us. And Jesus answered and said to her, and this is where red letters start, very cool. Martha, Martha, if that's how Jesus starts reaching out to you, like you've heard me say before, be careful. It's also important to notice that every time God says your name twice, like Samuel, Samuel, right? If he says it twice, he's trying to get your attention because you're distracted, and then hold your attention because you're easily distracted. This is the way that God is, and it only happens a few times in the Bible that it happens where he uses somebody's name twice, and there's a reason for it. Yeah. There is a very deep reason for it in the Bible. But it says here, Martha, Martha, that's saying, hey, that's the way we would do it. Hey, that's what Jesus is doing. Martha, Martha, you are worried, listen to these words, you are worried and troubled about many things. Did he say you're distracted? No, but it's right here in the Bible. Why would Jesus not just say that? God had to know it. Because this is one of the fruits of distraction. Do you hear this? You are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. What does this mean? What am I trying to say? There are things that are actually needed in life. Things that are necessary, things that are not just a choice. And then there are things that we do out of obligation, out of the feeling of necessity, and we do these things. We consider them impossible things to avoid. You know, you ever seen somebody that go, well, there was nothing else I could do? I mean, I've been in accidents where people were like, and then there was nothing else I could do. Swerving oncoming traffic, there was nothing else you could do. Hit the deer. Yep. Not the deer. Oh, yeah. You get a meal. You know, it'll clean your grill off. You know, don't swerve in oncoming traffic. There's more you can do. There's more you can do. But what I'm saying is we get convinced that our path was the only path.
Come on.
That's not biblically true. That's not in reality true. This is the only thing I could do. Run away was the only thing you could do. Become a hobo. That's the only thing you could do. I needed to save enough money where I could move out and become a failure on my own. Like, that was the only thing you could do. That was your only option. How do we in this modern day get distracted? Anybody have some examples? I do. I have plenty of them. Yep, your cell phone's one of them. You ever met the cell phone distraction person? You all have. You're probably one of them. As a matter of fact, some of you are probably like, the what now?
Come on.
I know this person because if you were to look at them, take everybody in this room, turn the lights off, just everybody sit here and give like 3 minutes. It won't take 3 minutes. I'm just saying give 3 minutes and it's going to light up. How's it going to light up? That's how it's going to light up. And what are you doing on there? The Lord's work.
No.
You're not doing any virgin work. What are you doing? I'm just checking. You have an issue if you've ever went to your Facebook feed, closed your Facebook, scrolled over twice, and then went back and reopened Facebook and done this to see if it refreshed. Something's wrong. Like, you might have an issue.
Come on.
You might have a distraction. You ever sat there? We've all done it. That's why I like saying things like this. We've all had this issue. You ever sat there with something like YouTube and watched videos that are so stupid? You can't convince yourself that it was worth watching them, but they're just stupid. You're like, hey, this dog's about to skateboard. I need to see this. Why? Why? If I don't watch this, I'll barely be distracted. Then I'll notice what my life is really like, and that's depressing.
Oh, come on.
Or you might do something about it too. There's a few chances of things out there. How about bad relationships? You ever seen people in these? The constant, you know, warfare and tribulation relationship? The love of, you ever seen somebody get something hot? You know, I talked about that hot potato. You ever seen somebody touch something hot, grab something hot, get a hold of something hot, get burned by something? Their response is always pulled away. Bad relationships can be like that.
Yeah.
How about TV? You know, I've talked about this before. Netflix is not the devil, but when you sit there and it's so common that they have the binge word connected with Netflix. You sit there and you wake up the next day realizing, I didn't move. I'm stuck. Someone save me. I got hooked by Netflix. I watched 8 hours of, you know, I don't even know a show, but 8 hours of it. I watched 8 hours of this. And I'm being generous.
Yeah.
I'm being generous. You know, my one that's just below me, he had a video game addiction, and he would play games. Nothing wrong with a video game. I especially like the ones where you get to shoot other stuff, because you never get in trouble. Police don't come. You don't have to explain yourself. There's no lawyers involved. You're just like, pop, you're dead. You know, how do you like that? 12-year-old probably on the other side of the screen, or 50-year-old person living at home. You know, how do you like that? I don't mind those games. As a matter of fact, back maybe a decade ago, me and some other pastor's kids would get on at night, and Josh Barkley would kind of give us a little text message, group text message, and we would get on and we would go assassinate people on a game that was multiplayer, and we would just be our team and we would be on there. Now, some of us weren't as good as other ones of us, and those people constantly got our team killed. But the point was, I don't mind those things. I mind it when it becomes an addiction, the same as TV, the same as Facebook's not evil. Don't get out of here and check your Facebook and be like, man, I'm doing that stinging thing again. It's not that something exists. It's the abuse of something, and then the inability to recognize when it's abusing you and you're abusing it. That's a problem. You don't think it is? There are people that are married to their phones, to their devices, to their technology. It's a shame. I don't even have my phone here, but if I had my phone here, what I would show you is on my phone, anybody that I know can text message me. And have you ever been text messaged in the middle of a conversation with somebody?
Yes.
I have. You know what happens the moment that goes off? You start thinking, I wonder who that is. You're no longer in this conversation, in the room, present. If we did a raise hands, who's present? You're not even present anymore. You know, we talked about this about the Apple Watch. What are the tendencies to do this with your Apple Watch? The danger is you'll get so used to doing it, even when you don't have an Apple Watch, you'll do it. I have an Apple Watch. I like technology. I like having it around. But there is a serious danger with the people that don't know how to handle it, and they can't control themselves, and the thing starts controlling them. The device starts obsessing about that device. It starts controlling them. And there is a problem with this. Because you can spend, you know, what if you spend 8 hours watching a show? You like that show. You do that 4 days in a row. Now, after four, this would never happen. None of you guys are bingers like that. But let's pretend that people do this. 4 days of overwatching this show, and you feel like you know the cast. Like, you like, oh, blank and blank. You know, we could use friends and be like, Joey's just such a card, isn't he? Like, you know this guy? I feel like it. He's been part of my life every day. You know, for the past week, I've watched, you know, somehow I watched 100 hours of Netflix in the past 2 days. It's not even physically possible, but I did it. I think I time traveled back and watched more episodes. I didn't sleep. What were you not sleeping from? I wasn't feeling good. Not feeling good what? I wasn't feeling good about turning Netflix off. Like, there are people that are so hooked on a thing, and at the end of the day, what did it give you? A bed sore? You know? Did you leave with anything good? No, you're just as empty as you were before. You ever sat there and scrolling through Facebook, reading posts? You ever walk away from one of those moments feeling like, like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. You ever posted something on Facebook and then refreshed it right away just to see if anybody liked it? Who cares?
Yeah.
You know how I know who cares? Because you ever liked something on Facebook without even finishing looking at it all the way? That's how busy you are at looking at Facebook? You're like, oh, my friend posted something. That looks like a dog. Like, you didn't read it. You didn't pay no kind of attention to it. You're just like, comment, great. I've watched experts. I have teenagers. I've watched people that are experts at streaming, jumping, you know, texting and that kind of stuff. I get a couple hundred texts a day, text messages. Some days, Miguel knows this, some days I'll get phone calls from the morning when I wake up, and I'll find myself at 5 o'clock at night still in my PJs, because from when I woke up, I had phone calls through the day. I haven't eaten, I'll drink coffee for sure, several of those, but that's it. My day was on the phone. I spent my day helping people and helping people, you know, throughout the day. How is this dangerous? I think you all know it's dangerous. And nobody thinks that that doesn't have a psychological effect on you. But here's the problem. This is what's going on. Our minds, our hearts, our lives are way overexposed to the world. We have way too much access card given to the world to come in. You don't even think you're doing it. But that cast of friends has somehow gained access to your mind and your heart. They're not even real. There are people faking to be things. But it has access to your life in such a broad spectrum that it's taken a part of your life and filled it with nothing, emptiness. In other words, you become so busy with nothing, you're bored. Did you hear what I said? You're so busy, but with nothing. It's not important. There's no value. It goes nowhere. So busy with nothing that you're bored and busy. How can you be both? How can someone be so busy and have something to do all day long and make it all the way to the night and still be bored all day? Well, because we're overinvested in things that aren't giving us any dividends. I'm concerned about this because we do it like it doesn't matter. Like the whole world having access to us doesn't have a penalty involved with it. There's no repercussion for allowing the world into that level, allowing other people access to our life and our relationship all the time. That we can't sit down and be present in a room with somebody because everybody else can still call and text and interact with me during that conversation. You know, it used to be not polite. I don't know where it changed, but when I was younger especially, it was impolite to even go and answer a phone when you were in a conversation with someone else. And if you had to, you would say, can you excuse me for 1 minute? And then you would, like even Ray Bench, he had a couple text messages that came in that he had to get, that something he'd been believing for months, and we talked a little bit about it, was coming in and he said, I'm so sorry about this. If you'll forgive me, I just need to, that's manners. But that is not what you get most of the time. Most of the time you do, like if somebody's trying to drive and text at the same time, you get this. And they're trying to watch you, or they're like, well, not nowadays. Nowadays people are like this. They can do full-on books, how fast as people text. Some of them are one finger, like. But what I'm saying is that it'll come up in your line of sight. They're not even hiding it anymore. They're not there with you. They look like it. You see their face. But nothing you're saying is getting in because the ears are already full. The life is already full, but not of content, of hollow air. You ever seen a balloon? You ever seen somebody pop a balloon? I mean, yes, you have. That's why I'm asking it this way. You ever seen like a water balloon or thrown a water balloon? You ever thrown a water balloon and watched that thing hit somebody and kind of like shape weird and not pop and bounce off them? Like it's like whoop and it comes off of them. Yeah. It has nothing to do with my message, but it's cool when that happens. It's like whoop and bounces off. Anyway. If you're filled with nothing, if there's no content in you, then when you're squeezed, you're just going to give away. Just going to give away. You're just going to have no strength to resist it. So when a fight comes to you, you could be doing totally fine, and everybody looks at you, and you're like, it looked like everything was great with them, and then a fight comes, and all of a sudden, nothing. You got no barriers. You got no strength. You got no stability. You're immediately shaken. You're worried about everything. Like, what are you worried about? God, the one who's going to supply all your needs. You're worried about, you know, your health. Where are you worried? I don't understand. That's not peace. Peace isn't involved with worry. That's fear. Fear is telling you that there's going to be a penalty that comes your way. You know, like a little kid when the parents say, hey, come here. I want you to meet me in the bedroom. And you're like, every time I go to that bedroom, it's a rod. Every time. And they're calling me in there. This isn't going to be good. I remember, you know, as a kid, if my dad called me down to his den, I would try to sneak out of the house. I was like, it's better to get whatever rod I would get for sneaking out if I even get caught. I don't know why as a kid you think you're not going to get caught. You've never not gotten caught before. But you just don't want to go in there for nothing. And the worst is if he says, go in my den and wait. That was worse than just come here to my den. Like, come here to my den, okay, it's over with. Go to the den. It could be, it felt like days, but it was probably 15 minutes. He might make you wait. And now you're just sitting in there waiting for this punishment, this looming death that's certainly coming for you. That's not peace. Sometimes, you know, if you do that to your kids, you're doing that to make sure that they understand this is a punishment, and it's coming. You know, I like to not do it to my kids too long because it's psychological. You know, it's a different type of war. I'm concerned about this because as people, if you remember the story where the Israelites go into the wilderness and they start going around the wilderness, being in the wilderness is one thing, but wandering in the wilderness is another. And when you're sitting there wandering and you can't get off of your wander device and you can't get off of your wander want in ways, you're going to get lost. If you're going to be in a wilderness, that's one thing. But if you want to wander in the wilderness, that's dangerous. That's life-threatening. If you want to have no aim to your life, that's life-threatening. Yeah. That's dangerous. Yeah. You will wander around, and it will not be good for you. And don't hate me this morning about this, but I'm telling you, it's true. People are getting their lives plagued with boredom, plagued with hollowness, plagued with emptiness. It's like we can't be happy unless something big and bright and shiny and is happening in front of us. You know, it needs, and even then, we're not really happy. We're just affected by this thing. We've overexposed ourselves. And imagine, you know what the price is? You want to know what a big price is? Intimacy. It's lost. That's the price we pay. And nobody thinks about it until the moments when you're relying on it and you go, wait a second, intimacy is lost. We don't have that. Husband and wives, where'd intimacy go? Family dynamics and relationships, where's intimacy? It's no longer us. You know that feeling? You have kids. You remember when the kids, you know, DJ was this big? You remember that kind of feeling where you grabbed me like, you know, probably hung him by his foot, you know, did whatever. He's a little kid, so you feel like you have a different access to him. You go up and hug him, you grab his hair, you know, kiss him on the face. It doesn't matter. And then he gets bigger, and you still love him the same way, but all of a sudden, some of the intimacy interactions die, and you don't have the same access because there's this wall of fake coldness that comes up between parents and children, between loved ones. This is just an example. This is what happens. We still feel the same. Our heart's the same, but something. We don't know what. We don't know why. It's not love. Love didn't stop. So what happened? Well, I'm telling you what happened. I'm telling you this morning. Our ability to have intimacy is being violated because we're allowing everything else in. We're allowing everyone else to come and speak. We're allowing you don't think it's everyone else, guys, but there are people that are so politically based. You have to have a stand somewhere in this system that is America. You know, the government system, but there are people that are so identified with one political party without even knowing all that's behind it. And I tell people, I said this just a week ago, I vote Republican more often than not because I don't like killing babies. I'm not putting my name to a homosexual, you know, marriage certificates on purpose. There's just a few reasons you need, but neither party is what I would say is Christian. Yeah. We have probably the most Christian president we've ever had in office. But I'm not going to say that those parties that they stand for are Christian. That's ridiculous. They use that to get places. And that's what they do. Both parties do. That's like the Democratic Party pretending that they help everybody when they keep people down half the time. Because how are you going to get somewhere if I'm going to pretend to do this for you? I am only saying this because where I grew up and what I grew up around. And I'm just telling you, you think like the Democratic Party, you think that they're helping minorities? Go ask some minorities. How many cool checks have you gotten this week from the Democratic Party? How many opportunities have you gotten this week because of that party that's helping you guys out? Oh, that's right. They're using that the same way other political parties use garbage, lies, and trickery to try and get what they want, which is just a position, power, and some money for themselves. This is what the majority of it is. So when we become so heated because of it, something's wrong. We've given access to our lives to something we should not. And guys, listen to what I'm saying. The things that make the biggest withdrawals out of you, that pull the most of your time, that pull the most of your effort, that pull your sanity to the very edge, those are the same things that are going to deposit the very least in you. They're going to leave the very small footprint of nothing behind. They're going to take so much of your time, so much of your effort, but they're going to leave like dust. It's going to feel like it filled the room because it filled all your time. But it didn't fill you with anything. It deposited next to nothing in you. This is the danger that we're facing nowadays. We allow these other families that aren't our family on a TV show into our family. And we let them come in, and we don't think that they weren't really here. Well, you're thinking about them. You're listening to them. That's not even real. It's fake what you're hearing. But you're listening to it, and we do it so much. We go to Facebook, and we want to be validated on Facebook. I enjoy going to Facebook and seeing one of those stupid posts that you're like, yeah, that's great. Now, those aren't the problem. Facebook's not the problem. We use it for our church. But when we allow it to do what it should not do, when we allow it to take us where it should not take us, if you sit down for a break and you pull your phone up and Facebook comes up, you have an issue. If you're going to use it for something and you're like, oh, I got to do this thing, that's one thing. But when you sit down and it comes up, because you can't just be still, I'm telling you right now, because we don't know how to be still and know that he's God, your average Christian right now, if we sat you still and said, we're going to just, everybody just, let's take about 15 minutes, half of you would go, 15 minutes? If I said, give God 5 minutes of prayer, a lot of us would go, 5 minutes? What am I going to pray about for 5 minutes? We don't care that, like, let's take 5 visitations of God to Daniel where he showed up strong for Daniel and there was miracles for Daniel and then all 5 visitations happened while he was on his face or on his knees in prayer. But we don't think about the fact that maybe God might visit us in that time of prayer because we don't have really a prayer life, but we have a technological life. We have an easy world access life. Our mind is opened up to the World Wide Web and the internet life. We have full-on access to our friends and other relationships life, but we don't have access for God life. I'm telling you the truth. We don't allow God to speak in or have time. We're not finding ourselves going, I just want to read some Bible and shut everything else. If you read Bible, you even want technology on in the background. We don't shut things off for God or for our family or for our loved ones, so we've lost intimacy in our relationships, and it's robbing and limiting our lives. We're not achieving great goals. We have dreams. Don't hear me wrong. We have dreams. We're just not achieving any of those dreams. We're not going any actual place. We're returning, and I realized this when I was in the world, and I started to realize, wait a second, we go to bowling alleys, and we throw a ball down a lane, and I leave, and I go home, and I have nothing to show for it. Doesn't matter whether I won. It doesn't matter whether I lost. I have nothing to show for it. Wait a second, I went to a club, I jumped around, I drank alcohol. Why even go to the club? Why not just stay home and drink alcohol? That's the way I started to realize. I'm just going to friends' houses instead of my house, and this is our parties that we're doing. What am I doing? And it became depressing, more depressing, more depressing. My life became more empty, more hollow, and I started to get a bigger revelation of this is all I've created in my life. This is all I have to show for it, is the way some people would say. I've created a hollow life. And I've done this because I've given access to too many things. Too many things are speaking to me. I've created so many prophets in my life, I wouldn't recognize a prophet of God if he came in and hit me in the forehead. I've created so many men of God in my life that aren't men of God, but they're the ones speaking to me. They're the ones giving me direction. They're the ones telling me what's right and wrong. And so I sit there going, I don't feel good about this. Well, what does it matter what you feel? You feel sick. You look sick to us. Listen, it's wrong. It is a nasty mistake to abuse something that allows you to be distorted as an individual and to lose what intimacy is meant to be in a conversation where you have, you know, like I was saying that about your child. When your child's young, they don't have that. They can get distracted easily, sure, but not with things that have access that should not. When it's a little kid, the only thing that little kid can get distracted with is the things you put around it. Now, nowadays, when I was young, we didn't have TVs like we do nowadays. The TV we had when I was little, most people nowadays wouldn't recognize it's a TV. They'd be like, well, that can't be a TV. It looks like it's mounted to the wall, but it is the wall. You know, it's this deep, but the screen's only this big. But it's this deep. And it's this wide, but the screen's only this big. And there's no color. Fix the color. Like, I do this all day. Nothing's changing on the color whatsoever. There's no color. It looks kind of, what is that weird? It's a black and white TV. People don't know what that is. You know, how do you change a channel? Not this, guys. This. People, nowadays people will be like, what? Was that an antique? You know, that same way I feel about record players. My dad had, now some of it is because we didn't have a lot of money when I was growing up, but my dad had this thing that was like from that speaker to here, and it was like a desk. But it was a record player, but it was a desk. It was a desk record player. And the two things on the ends were supposed to be speakers, and the thing in the middle was like you'd open it up and there'd be like the record place to put the record and stuff. Records are big MP3 players that could only play a certain amount of songs. And that thing would go on there, and he would play those things. And records, if you haven't heard a record, people love them that love music because of the way the volume is, the sound is, it feels more alive, and it does. There's a special feeling with a record. It's unique. It doesn't mean it's more clear. I'm not going to pretend it's better than a digital recording of something, but it is a really cool effect to have that. And you even hear the little in the background as you hear that little thing picking up the record. And if you bump it, you hear the skips, and you hear if there's a scratch on it, and there's something special about them. But that's how old it was, is what I'm saying. That's what I had growing up. This was the access. So if I was going to be like, what are you so distracted with? It'd be like, I'm listening to that radio show, you know, for 30 minutes once a week that I was listening to on there. Or my parents would allow us to watch, I can't even remember what it's called, Family Something or Other. And it was like Sunday afternoons, and it would be these shows. Like I mentioned, you were bringing up the Seven Brides for Seven Brothers show. Well, that was also where we'd watch our White Christmas and our all these other like family classics. That's what it was called. And so we would watch those every Sunday. We'd be allowed to watch some of those type of TV shows. In other words, my parents let us be normal outdoor doing things kids. We knew how to navigate every bush in our neighborhood. We knew how to climb every tree. We knew where everything was outside. We knew what actual fun felt like playing with people. We didn't sit there all day vegetating in front of a box empty at the end of the day. Now, you could argue and say, well, what did you have to show for it? And I'll say this. Intimacy, real friendships, relationships, one-on-one. We were all there. Even when we would pretend and play a game, we were actually there, present. Like here I am, not half over here, not thinking about and wondering about, worrying about over there. We weren't broken the way that nowadays people get. We understood what a relationship was. And nowadays, most of the people, they have major relationship issues in their lives, in their marriages, in their families, in their friends, and they don't know where it's coming from. They don't realize it's coming because you've given access to the world, to your life. You've given the world a one-line street right into your brain and into your heart, and you've given the world complete access. Then you wonder, why do I feel this way? You feel that way because that's not normal, guys. Psychologically, it's not normal. It's not normal to just be able to click something and access everything. It's debilitating. What are you going to do? How many of you have a plan today that you're going to go home, get on the internet, and start to study out some topics and really get to the bottom of something big today, and then by tomorrow you have a plan to take it to another whole tier and there's another thing you're going to go study and do? Because, man, are you going to use that web for what it's really good for, which is full-on information gathering? No. You have access to everything, all the knowledge and learning that you could have access to, and it's all there, and most of it's free, and you have full-on access to it, but what do you use it for?
Come on.
I'm just being honest. It's the truth. We use it for drone level, would bore most people to death, shockingly empty nothingness. Repetitive nothingness. Have you ever seen some of the, like I said, a video game I can get behind? Now, I don't play them, but what I'm saying is there's nothing wrong with a video game. There's something wrong with the video game addiction. But I don't mind a shooting something game. I like those kind of games. It saves ammo. It's nice and easy to, you know, that kind of stuff. I get it. You don't have to like me. That's just the way that I am. I'm saying what I like. You can like your thing. There's people that like football games. I don't understand why to like a football game because it's super frustrating. At least a shooting game, you can aim and shoot. Anyway, I'm just saying. So at the end of the day, what you walk away with when you do that is still nothing. You could be like, I was first on my team. Like, but, you know, that's nothing still. There's really nothing there. Well, what did you do? I got out some aggressions. No, you didn't even. You didn't even. If you've ever played one of those kind of games, you get shot in the back of the head and you just got more aggressions. I wasn't even looking over there. That's why I got shot. How did he even get there? He's cheating. I know this stuff because my son will be like, he's hacking. He just came through the wall. Like, Like, the wall's a door, and it was behind you, and that's how you got killed. Like, you know, but that's the excuse. I'm just saying, this is what we do. We're just like, that's impossible. No one's that quick. Like, that's what the guy that lost says. The guy that lost is always like, no one's that. You know, he's got his gun's hacked. He killed me in like two bullets. Like, no, you know, I've heard it. What I'm saying is, you didn't get your aggressions out. You gained more of them.
Yeah.
You ended the game, and at the end of the game, you're like, I need to do something. What? Kill something in real life. I don't know. Somebody killed me there, you know, 1,000 times. It's so frustrating. That's not possible. I've watched people do it with whatever that game is where you click on crystals and you make them pop and then the other crystals fall. And it's that game's a real mental, psychological buster, games like that. Because it's like, succeeded. Look how many I just blew up. The screen just filled with more problems. It's just going to teach you your life. There is no real success. The better you do, there's no... That's what all these things do. They teach you a psychological thing that you're not paying attention to because you're not thinking you're allowing it to be your Lord and Master and Trainer and Prophet, but it's all the while teaching you bad behavior. It's teaching you how to not be present. It's teaching you how to be more empty. It's teaching you how to have access to things that should not into your life. It's teaching you how to not succeed. It's teaching you that no matter what you do, there is no actual finish. There's no finale. There's no... It's subconsciously teaching us there's no such thing as heaven and hell. There's no such thing as death. We're not going to die one day. It's taking away the pressure from us to feel like we better achieve something while we can. It's taking away that end that's coming for all of us before that next beginning phase that's coming for everyone, wherever you're going to spend eternity. And it takes away any thought of it because it's never ending. You know how I know that? Because I remember playing a game. It's a Nintendo. And it was, there was a Mario game. And I remember playing it, and your guy dies, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's all over. Wait, he's back. How did he get back? Oh, you had an extra life. That teaches you a bad thing, guys, because in real life, you don't get to go die and then...
No extra.
Yeah. Your life can't get to such a pit and such a garbage place that you're like, hey, someone go reset it quick. Hold down reset. Blow in the cartridge. Put it back in. Quick! It's teaching you bad things. It's teaching you not to care about what you should care about, not to treat well and precious the things you should. You're not respecting the things you should. We're not here. We're not present. We're not intimate anymore. And we're ruining relationships, and we're limiting our life, and we're limiting our effect, and we're limiting God for sure because we have given over access to the world. Listen, the world is not some... I like to go to restaurants and eat in the world. I like to go and get things in the world. It's not the world that's the evil thing, the world, the things that are out there. It's the world, the entity, the system of that becomes evil if you get stuck in it, if you start believing its doctrine, if you start, you know, sipping on that salt water. It seems like water. It's going in, but you don't think it's going to rob you of the nutrients. It's going to cause you to lose more than it's putting in you. That's what I'm telling you guys.
Come on.
I promise you, it is... Go through your own life. You be your own judge. The things that are taking the most from you, the most of your time, the most of your concentration, the most of your efforts, those are probably the things giving you the least deposits, leaving the least with you, building up the very least in you. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not saying they're not puffing you up. I'm not saying they're not filling you full of air. I'm not saying that they don't make you feel like somebody. I'm saying they're leaving the least deposit. After it is done, there is nothing left to help build you up. It's not strengthening you. It's not establishing you. Guys, there's nothing wrong with. There's nothing. Don't go, when you go out of here, don't find somebody else that's here and see them pull their phone up and be like, hey. I told you I get like 200 plus text messages a day. There's nothing wrong with using a device for what it should be. I'm talking about addictions and the problem that happens with not knowing how to shut it off. When you should. If nothing else, how about the manners of what we were talking about with the Apple Watch? How about just the manners of knowing, be here when we're here? Just that, if there was nothing else. People don't even have that most of the time. You know how I know? You know, you guys are brothers. You guys could be hanging out and talking, and just, you're not doing any serious conversation. You're just talking. And you know how brothers talk. It's not going to be emotionally deep, I can promise you that, not unless something big went down. Something big has to go down for that kind of thing to happen, I promise. I have a lot of brothers. I know what I'm talking about. I'm an expert in this field. But you guys are talking. You're just having a conversation. Now, let's say you get a phone call or a text message. You're not going to be like, excuse me 1 second, I'm sorry. Or even better, put it on silent and just keep talking. Why? We're just talking about nothing. What's the matter? You won't think what that does to a brother relationship. You won't think what that's putting in there. It won't even matter to you. Because this wasn't serious what we were talking about. No, but relationship is serious. Well, that's not killing my relationship. Then you have no idea. You have no idea what you're doing. I love let me put this on silent. I'm not even going to give a voice to it. I love that. I love when people have respect for a relationship enough to say when we're talking, we're talking. I love that. That's not to say an emergency can't pop up. It's not to say something important can't pop up. But I can tell you this, even when we got together, several Sundays ago, when I got out of there and I pulled my phone up, I had a wall of text messages. I didn't answer them while I was in there, while we were talking, and I wasn't worried about it when I got out. I'm just like, yep. And I answered all those things before I even drove away. How hard was that? I could have sat there in our whole conversation and went through 15 messages and just kept doing that, and then we would have had no real conversation. I can say that about any of you. I can't tell you how many times we'll sit down, and when I leave, I'm going to have a wall of things to get at, but you're not going to see that with me when we're talking because I know how to be present. I'm cutting back that access. So I'm trying to encourage you guys today. You know, cell phones didn't used to exist. And when the first ones came in, to pretend that you would go on the web with it is ridiculous. Because you wouldn't even know how to do it. How do you even fit the AOL disk in there? There was no way. And as the cell phones got bigger, you remember you wouldn't remember this, a lot of you guys, but they had these phones. I remember the first times that the phones could flip open. Or the first phones that had like an actual, you could get online on the web. And I remember when BlackBerries were the big thing. And then I remember when Apple phones came around and they started to become the big thing. And then Apple figured out like, hey, we should keep changing this up from an Apple phone 1 to a 2. People are going to buy this and they'll have to get rid of the old one. We're going to phase that out. And then they started realizing we can even do something in between those because we're not making enough money on these morons who are willing to keep buying every new one. Let's put an S together. What's an S? Super more money. Like, this is what people do. This is what people do. We succumb to this over-access. How many of you have apps on your phone? And don't raise your hand. How many of the apps on your phone do you use daily? All of? Half of? A tenth. If you went to your phone storage, you'd be like, well, I'm almost full. What are you almost full of? Nothing. And that's the way we are as people. Nothing. I don't even know what this app is. I can't imagine what this connects to. That's how most of us are. We have tons and tons and tons of nothing. We look like that balloon. And then as soon as a war comes, as soon as a hard thing comes, we collapse in. We have no protection. We have no stability. You ever seen somebody shape a balloon into an animal? That's the way you look. You're like, a second ago, I looked like a balloon. Now I look like a giraffe. Something's wrong. That's the way life is. You ever had that conversation with your family member? A second ago, you looked like my spouse, and now you look like the devil. What happened? You've all been there. 1 minute ago, pure love. Right now, pure evil. What happened? What happened? I can tell you what happened. We're hearing about what happens, right? We've been there, right? This is what happens. I'm just trying to warn you. Cut the access back. The access is hurting you. The access is causing problems. Your lack of intimacy is causing an issue in your relationships and in your life. It's causing trauma. It's sitting there stabbing you, and you're like, what's stabbing me? Well, you know, wait, you keep opening the door. Just saying. I don't own any dogs. And you would be shocked to find out how few dogs are peeing on my carpet at home. It's very few. Every once in a while, it's a kid. We have kids over there. I'll be like, what did you do? Like, no, you don't do that. You can't teach kids like that. Don't do the, in your diaper. No, you don't. Don't do that with your kid. But what I'm saying is, if I opened up my doors to dogs, I wouldn't be shocked if one of them did pee on my floor.
Come on.
You open up your door. There's nothing. Dogs are the only animal I would own. I've owned dogs. Every other animal I wouldn't own. I don't see. I'm not against them. I'm just saying. Cats look a little too much like something evil. And I'm not saying, love cats all you want, I'm just not a cat fan. And birds are what cats eat. I've watched Tom and Jerry. I know. I'm a dog fan if we're going to have an animal, or a lion. If I could own a lion, I'd own a lion or something like that. If I'm going to have a cat, it's going to be a lion or something. What I'm saying is, if I had one, I would expect a dog to do what a dog does. So expect the world to do what it does, even if you don't think it's the world.
Exactly.
It does what it does. It will hollow you out. It will fill you up with air. It'll puff you into something that's useless,
that's
and then it's going to ruin your relationships, and it will absolutely limit you. Let's stand and pray.